Oh my. Thank you, choir. That is so beautiful. I stood by the door on a Wednesday evening when the bell choir was practicing a couple weeks ago, and I was mesmerized and remembering the words to the dominant melody in that number, words that are so hopeful for our lives that read, "Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge air was given." Now, those are old ways of saying something, but the impact of those words has never been lost on me, and maybe not on you either. The thought that we are beloved children of a Heavenly Father who wants to nestle us safe and close to His heart, which is such an incredible image. No matter where we are in life, no matter what our fears are, no matter how wayward we may have been, no matter how lonely we may feel, God is always there. His arms are always open wide to receive us back home into His embrace. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And we're on week two, as Peter said, of this series called Called to Care. And every Sunday we recite the passage that Andrew led us in from Matthew 25, what we call Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that story, I have this existential moment wondering how much of a sheep I am or how goaty I can be sometimes. You ever there? The consequences are profound. It's about whether our attitudes and our actions are tracking with God's priorities for His world or not. There's hope in this passage, but it really comes down to a heaven or hell proposition. And we may not like it so black and white, but Jesus is clear. We are either with Him, in other words, our hearts are aligned to God's agenda and living to make a difference for good in the world that He loves so much that He sent Jesus to die for it. But if we're not for Him in that, then we are against Him and His priorities. There is no middle ground. And Jesus here in this parable prods us to think about what it truly means to care for people. If you've got your Bible or your Bible app open to Matthew 25, if not, I encourage you to grab one out of the rack or open what you have. Quick note, I'm not using slides today because we're using new presentation software and I haven't figured it out yet. Anyone else know that feeling? Okay. We're going to be still unpacking over this whole month what it means to respond to Jesus' call to care for others. And today we're going to look at that part where Jesus talks about the righteous, also the unrighteous, but the righteous in verse 36, where it says, "I was in prison and you came to visit me." Now, when we hear that, some here in this room may have an immediate visceral reaction because you know what it's like to be imprisoned, or you know the experience for someone very close to you. But then incarceration is not something we talk about a whole lot because it carries a lot of emotional weight that can feel quite uncomfortable. Even the word prison is very heavy. And when Jesus talks here about visiting those in prison, a lot of us, are probably wondering if we're dealing with a goat mentality in our hearts and our brains, may wonder if we've ever followed Jesus' command here. When we lived in near Washington, D.C., our kids were little, and there was a guy in our church who had all the appearances of success. He came to church every Sunday dressed in really nice clothes, beautiful clothes. He sat next to his beautiful wife and alongside his beautiful children. He hadn't been around for more than a few months, and I didn't know him real well, but he was super friendly and obviously a real mover and shaker in his world. What I didn't realize that, yes, in fact, he was a mover and shaker in his world, all over the world, and Interpol, the International Criminal Police Organization based in Paris, had a warrant for his arrest on charges of money laundering. And the FBI had just tracked him down and taken him into custody. I got a call from his wife that morning, and later from him, asking for me to visit him in prison. and specifically asking if I would come and serve him communion, which of course I said I would do. I had never been to jail before, literal or otherwise, at that point, and I was quite nervous, as many of you experienced the first time you ever visited a jail. I drove to the Fairfax County Detention Center, and I parked in the visitor lot. I went through the metal detectors and the bag search and waited. Then a guard came and escorted me through a series of metal doors, each one closing with a loud clang, which is such an ominous sound, if you've ever heard that. I was shown into a small room where the armed guard stood by as this relatively new friend and I talked as we shared communion and prayed for each other, which really stuck with me. For the first time in his life, it had all caught up to him, and he was desperately lonely. Reaching out for a friend, reaching out for God. Long story short, he was extradited to a country where he'd embezzled millions of dollars from the government, and I sadly lost track of both he and his family. Why does Jesus make it such a point about visiting those who are in prison? What is that? And is it the literal experience of being behind bars that he's concerned with? Or is it something more deeply rooted in the experience of confinement, whether it's physical or emotional, where one might literally be shut in or ignored, maybe abandoned by friends or family for some reason, victims perhaps of human trafficking, slaves, or even those whom we're going to pray for later in the service, those who have been persecuted for their faith? I think Jesus' intent here is both and. Because there are profound similarities between the experience of jail, of incarceration, and the sense of abandonment and hopelessness that anyone in life might feel when they are not experienced the freedom and the life that God intends for us to have in real community, like we have here. Do you realize how precious what we have here is? I take it for granted sometimes. Let's not do that. The common experience here is loneliness. One of Prison Fellowship's websites explains it like this. Imagine going to prison and losing everyone who is important to you. Your friends fall away. May not want to know you. Distance means it may be hard for spouses to bring children to see you. For some inmates, nobody comes to visit. And as months turn into years, sometimes the only person to visit a prisoner is a prison fellowship volunteer. Loneliness. There's a magazine called The Big Issue that highlights the plight of the homeless, and it's sold by the homeless to help them escape the cycle of poverty that so many of them are in. And homelessness must also be one of those incredibly lonely experiences. Those who were on the Alpha retreat this weekend will recognize this, the article that was in that magazine that expands our understanding of what the prison of loneliness might look like. It reads like this in the article. It says, most people's image of loneliness is of a frail old woman stuck on the 24th floor of an apartment building. The reality is it is also a fashionably dressed guy trying desperately to make conversation with a girl standing next to him in a bar. Loneliness is pervasive, and that's a problem. I sat at Dun Brothers the other day, coffee by my side, headphones on my head, eyes on my laptop, intensely focused on the work in front of me. And then I looked around me. And what I saw was really common, seen it many times before, and so have you. In a room full of people, lots of chatter and laughter, a lot of other people absorbed in the work on our little screens. sat several old men there in the crowd, obviously by themselves, speaking to no one, very much alone. And you can imagine for every one of them who are out and about in the community, how many more sit home alone in homes or apartments, prisons or homeless shelters or nursing homes, neighbors who are unseen by our eyes, but they are very much there and they are very much alone. Maybe sitting next to you at school or work or even here at church. Desperately alone, desperately lonely. Last week and in the next weeks to come, we're going to hear practical ways about how to faithfully follow Jesus' command to feed the hungry and care for those in desperate need, like we learned about the need for fresh water last week. But what about the lonely? What about the lonely? What about those literal and figurative prisons? To be honest, I struggle with this one. Maybe you do too. And yet, I believe it's something that we have to start with an honest prayer to God that He would give us eyes to see. That maybe that's the first step. God, give me eyes to see and not just pass over. So that the Holy Spirit would help open our hearts to the reality of need that is all around us. And again, here we are, most of us here, we experience fellowship, and yet there are so many right next door who don't. What might we do? What might our life groups do, our small groups, our Bible studies, our service groups? How might we expand the welcome and to break down loneliness? Some of you may feel Some of you may feel the tug to do visitation at the Shakopee or Faribault correctional facilities. They need volunteers. Or maybe it is closer to home, visiting those in our church or in your neighborhood who are shut in. Or maybe when you see someone sitting alone in the lunchroom at school or at work, day after day they're alone and you could go over and invite yourself to join them. Might make a friend. Might change a life. In the Message paraphrase of the Bible in Hebrews 13, there's this tremendous word of hope. In verses 3 and 5, it says, as followers of Jesus, we should always regard prisoners as if you were in prison with them. Look on victims of abuse as if what happened to them had happened to you. We enter into their life with them. And he goes on and says, since God has assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk off and leave you. And if God never leaves us nor forsakes us, sheep or goats, how could we ever not do the same for another? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, sometimes the words that you speak through your Son Jesus hit us real hard. And I pray that this has hit my heart real hard today. And that by your Spirit, my eyes might be opened. That God, in your amazing way of working with us, crusty old goats that we can be, you can soften our hearts and open our eyes and help us to care and to care well, to respond to your call. Knowing even in the midst of this, though, God, that you love us so dearly, and this is a beautiful message we have to share as you welcome your children into your embrace. How deep your love is for us. We give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen.